Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
From the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I give it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
No, Sensei.
No mercy.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your Black Panther party.
Jake LaTondres.
I am bad news. I'm going to break you.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
It's showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. And on the line with me this week for Life Short Get Ducks episode, Mr. Ramsey Russell. Also here to co-host with me, Josh Webb. Guys, how are y'all?
I'm doing right on time, Rocky LaFleur. If I were doing any better, I'd be knee deep in a duck hole. So I'm doing fine, enjoying this fall weather, and life's good.
Yeah, that's the same here. And that's something we were talking about, you know, before. It's just, I don't know, this weather the last few days and the way it looks the rest of this week. It's just really got a, it's just got a good feel to it. It's got me really, really itching to be outside all I can. Because even in the peak of the day, it's not even high. I mean, the humidity's down, and it's just, it's so nice.
Josh, you're going to appreciate today. You're okay. Really, really going to appreciate what I'm sitting there for my, I have a weekly phone call with Ramsey. Ramsey and I, I'm Ramsey. I'm not saying this just because you're here, but Ramsey and I have a weekly phone call. We've talked for probably about an hour every once a week. I walk away from that phone call outside of this podcast. I walk away from that phone call a better person, a smarter person, just from listening to Ramsey. And this morning we were talking about, you know, something that you and I talk about a lot. Who is representing hunting? Who's representing hunting on social media? I guess that's probably not the best way to open this. But Ramsey was talking about, and we're going to talk about the here and now in just a second. But one of the important things that Ramsey brought up, we couldn't exist in that world 20 or 30 years ago because the message was almost controlled. Am I saying all of that right, Ramsey? And we're going to talk about the president in just a second.
Yeah, it's a personal opinion. It just, from my perspective, outside looking in, Will Primo touched on it the other day in the podcast. He was talking about, it's all about timing. It's all about timing. As recently as when I started down the path of building GetDucks.com, it existed. I was outside, and there was no way into the system. Now, break hold his thought. Because we're talking the channels of the hunting industry are controlled by industry, and I've heard it said negatively, and I'm not speaking negatively of energy, but I've heard it said, well, you know, big industry and all these products and all these people are, you know, they're using ducks as pawns and they're doing this and that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know, because of merchandising, let's call it, because that's what I think of industry is merchandising. Because of merchandising, waterfowl have commodity value without which they cease to exist. You know, and let's just get the big picture of things real quick. Waterfowl merchandise in the American economy give ducks commodity value without which they cease to exist. But we're talking about big industries, and they control, they're active in the media. The media is responsive to advertising dollars, and see that kind of that whole system. And as I began very humbly to the process of building my brand, GetDuff.com, Ramsey Russell, as I began down that path, you know, I'd read outdoor magazines forever and, you know, realized I was kind of on the outside looking in. You know, they didn't need Ramsey Russell to write a story. They didn't need Ramsey Russell's story. Honestly, they just did not want it or need it. And you know, what I realized is if you look at 20, 30, 40 years ago, back in the good old days, the heyday of print media, there was a system in place. There was a network, a good old boys network.
Very important, that existed.
And it didn't exist at the exclusion of others. There was a lot of benefit. If you were a magazine editor and you needed content, good quality content, and you needed connections to the industry, you know, who funded the writer stories, who bought ad space and kind of drove that machine, it really behooved you to work with a proven resource, a proven writer, a proven editor, a proven somebody that you could count on to continuously generate the standard. And so, you know, you really didn't have time or inclination to work with somebody from outside the system. And the way I look at it, the way I kind of conceive it is like, you know, those musk ox, those big buffaloes, those musk ox sitting up there in the Arctic, you know, when you approach them, when a hunter approaches them, when wolves approach them, or outsiders at all approach them, you know, those big males form this real tight circle, like a bunch of football lines, offensive line. You know, they form this real tight circle around the calves and the cows, and they've got this wall between them. And, you know, outsiders ain't getting in. Wolves ain't getting in, you know. And but now if you look at the new frontier that has happened in just the last 20 years, that has evolved and is continuing to evolve since I've started the process of building my business and my brand, times have changed, and that the principal change has been the internet. Because you know, it used to be, back when I was a little boy reading Field and Stream at the barbershop, it used to be that, boom, you read Field and Stream, there might be Bill Dance and maybe one other hunting show at all on Saturday mornings to watch. But outside of that, the whole world of hunting was the print media that we all read when we went to the barbershop.
Oh, bro. All right. And, let me make sure I got this right, Randy. You 20 years ago and further, you needed the bubble, is what you're saying. And today, you don't need the buffalo as much to get your content out.
No,
that's right.
You don't, because the internet changed everything, man. It's a whole new. It's not just words and pictures that you see in this virtual reality. It has changed the whole mechanism for humanity communicating with one another. And you know, it's like whereas to back formerly. The way the model of communication was in the outdoor industry, formerly you paid or you earned your way up through the ranks of magazine. But, you know, I believe that 30 years ago, if I wanted to be a voice in the outdoor industry or in the outdoor world or in the hunting world, I had to fight my way into that buffalo herd. I had to look around and say, oh, yeah, this guy's a buffalo now. He's one of us. But now I don't necessarily need that system, and even though I work very closely with some very, very good associates in the print media industry and outdoor television industry, and it's very essential for getting the message out, it's not the only avenue of communication anymore. And what I only see in my rearview mirror looking back is the fact that how Ramsey Russell was able to get his word out, his message out, which started very, very, very humbly, part-time, and then just a little bit of it, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, what was stirring what I had to communicate and exploiting and using to my advantage to give myself a voice, this new thing at the time, called the internet. And, you know, expanded into chat rooms. There, you know, of course, there was news and media and commercial sales and everything else going around on it. But it was beyond that. It was chat rooms. It was blogs. It was now I had YouTube, and I had all these different ways to get the message out and to cultivate my brand. You know, it was a great equalizer. It's a wonderful equalizer.
All right, Ramsey, let me say this. This is where Josh and I spend a lot of time talking in conversation. Look, I think in this world, and see, both of you agree with me, there's trailblazers like the Ramsey Russells of the world. But also, there's those that try to jump into the herd, per se, that accept, let's say, free stuff because their social metrics are better than somebody else. You know, we got the Huntress over here in her bikini. Well, she's got 900,000 followers. Does that really sell? No, I don't think it does. You know, and she's promoting a cooler or whatever it may be. She's taking free stuff. I think it
kills. I understand it from the company's marketing aspect of, well, if this person says or does anything with our product, 80,000 eyeballs are immediately going to be on it. And you couldn't find that kind of marketing power 20 years ago, not unless you had existed for 20 years at that point. I get it from that side, but what frustrates me about it is it's become so watered down with, it's just so obvious that people are doing it because they want a pat on the back. They want to be told, good job. They don't care if it's discounted, if it's free, they don't care. And they'll take 15 or 20 of them, companies, from anything and everything. And this goes for men and women. It has nothing to do with one sex or the other. And it's just become so watered down that it's annoying to a point. And look, to contradict it, I'd understand that a company, you know, sees it as, well, all we got to do is give this person something free. 80,000 people who follow them or whatever is going to see it. If that person screws up, we'll cut ties with them and act like we never knew them and we're out. Nothing but maybe a free product or two that we sent them, and that's it. And
But
does it really move the needle? I have a hard time understanding how it would.
I think the understanding part comes as an economy of scale, though, because you know you take what is essentially a mom and pop brand, GetDucks.com, by necessity. My business is a mom and pop indie type business. Now, on the one hand, we've been in business long enough and worked long enough and explored and just done this stuff long enough that we are experts in our field. On the other hand, to provide the level of service that we have to, that this our business commands of us, we have to be small so that we can be personally responsive to the individual client needs. But now you apply that to selling a major product, pick a product. I mean, millions of products out there. If you take that level of it, you know, they're corporate, they're major, they're talking at the tens of millions or hundred millions of dollars level of inventory being moved, and it's a whole different economy of scale. They can be a little less personal, and a lot of industry is trying to move into a personal voice and everything else. The buzzword that defines a lot of these types of people we're talking about, the corporate room buzzword, is mega influencer. I don't regard myself as a mega influencer. Mega influencer is the guy that can talk to millions of people.
Why? I'm telling you, they sit around in a corporate boardroom and laugh at us, or laugh at, not me, because I've had offers here. You can have some free stuff. You'll mention us on the podcast. No. Yeah. You know what? I've got storage room buildings full of stuff. My kids can't eat plastic decoys. If you want to be a part of this podcast, you want me to stand behind your product, you pay. You know, corporate boardrooms are sitting around the world today.
That's a whole different. That clouds a subject for me. Because I don't want your product, and I'm not going to use your product. I'm not going to use your product if it doesn't work for me and I don't believe in it.
That's exactly where I was about to say, Ramsey. I'm not. You'll never hear me speak of anything until I have used it to the extent of every possible way that I can use it. And if I believe in it and I spend my own money on it and my own time with it and it works for me, I have no problem telling people.
But
what you will always hear me say is, it works for me. It may not be what you need five states over, but it worked for me. And, you know, Rocky, something else that we've talked about and that is a recurring theme on Duck South and everywhere is the loss of respect, in especially in the outdoor industry. And one of the things we always talk about is where's that disconnect. And it just kind of slapped me in the face a minute ago listen to you and Ramsey talk of where it is, and I think now, I mean, I truly do think one of the main disconnects on why there's so much less respect for hunting, for fishing, for conservation, for anybody who actually knows what they're doing, for anybody who wants to actually hand down what they're doing to somebody who's willing to learn, I think that disconnect comes from this, what we're talking about. There's no respect for products. There's no respect for what went into making that product, because just like I said a minute ago, hey, look, we're going to send you five of these, two of these, and one of these, and you use them and you promote them. Well, that person may do that. Well, if that company, if they go screw up and they put up a stupid picture and the company cuts ties with them, what does that quote unquote influencer go do? Well, then they just turn around and badmouth the same company that was supporting them a month before. And so there's no respect for it because they can just bounce around to 15 companies that are,
well,
that have the
loyalty,
same product,
there's loyalty,
different name.
That shows loyalty to themselves, not to their product. Now see, GetDucks.com, by distinction, we're a very organic brand. It goes back to using the internet and just building relationships and stirring what we had to tell our story and build on that story. You know, it was just a very, very long process. That wouldn't work with shareholders. You know, that'd be way too slow a return on their investment to work in a conventional shareholder type convention. But it worked for us. We told our story. We told it very organically. But we followed our lead. See, it was like we were. What I'm trying to say is it's a very organic process to where now, you know, I wore Filson and continue to do so in certain applications just because waxed cotton works very well for me in my situations. And to the day I die, I will never believe that any single camo pattern works as well universally as just simple olive drab. That olive drab, mm-hmm, will fit into every single environment on earth that I've ever set foot and hunted in. Whereas some patterns fit way, way better in certain situations. But the products that I use right now, the calls that I blow, the guns that I shoot, the clothing that I wear it because I'm not being sponsored. I'm not, you know, nobody's paying me to do it. I'm doing it because I spend my money on it and because I utterly, mm-hmm, believe in it. I utterly believe in it for my situation. I was cleaning my, I shoot Benelli's. I have for a long, long time. At inertia recoil, you know, it's become a part of my time and my shooting time. You give me a gas-operated gun, and it throws off my timing for a little bit because the recoil is different. But I was cleaning my two guns the other day, and I got this big old multi-tray fishing tackle box just slapped full of gun stuff. So it's all in one place, and I took out my gun cleaning kit, and as I'm taking those guns apart, just taking them all the way down to the nuts and bolts, my whole toolbox is contrived to fit Benelli guns. You know, so that I can take that thing completely and utterly apart and fix anything on that I need to do. And because I'm a Benelli believer, and it's just I believe in Benelli. I've got the mileage out of Benelli. It works. The way I can clean that gun out in the field and put it together, I shoot it because I work it. And several years ago, one of my clients said, what size do you wear? And I told him, and he sent me a Sitka coat, one of their old Dakota coats. And I'm like, ah, man, look at that camo. Yep, yep, yep. You know, I just like, man, it wasn't my waistcoat. I'll tell you this funny story. I was in, I think I was in Netherlands heading to Romania, and I was, I don't know, 10 pounds overweight on a bag. I had one single bag, and I was 10 pounds overweight. I said, well, wait a minute. What's your baggage limitation? She goes, 50 pounds. I says, and how many bags am I allowed? She goes, two bags. I said, well, 50 plus 50 is 100. Seems like you owe me 40 pounds. And that's the way this kind of ought to work. If I'm allowed 100 pounds and I've got 60, why can't I get, you know, credit for that 40 pounds I'm not using? Well, that ain't the way it worked. I just happened to have an extra bag. So I pulled out my old Filson coat and stuck it in my other bag and popped it up. Guess what? Now I'm 10 pounds under. I just took out 20 pounds in that one coat. And my, you know, the way I travel so much, I'm a minimalist packer anyway, man, moving to some state-of-the-art technology really is advantageous. And so between that and the fact that I like the way that Sitka coat fit, and I like the way it worked, and I like the way it functioned, I started wearing that particular brand only because I believe in it. Trust you me, Ramsey Russell don't walk to the mailbox and get a sponsorship check from nobody for nothing. But here's the real rub on this thing. I use what I believe. But understand, going back to the brand, GetDucks.com, why do people, when they can get on the internet and Google anything anywhere, why do people call me? Given the choice of these 500 outfitters in the world or in the United States of America, say in any given state, why do they come to U.S. Hunt List and say, I'm going to go with this outfitter that U.S. Hunt List recommends? Or why do they choose to come with Ramsey's Hunt in Argentina when there's a multitude of choices? It's because after 17 years of doing my best to be respectable and be honorable and show some integrity and work best for my client, people believe or trust my objectivity. They trust Randy for the hunt to be like they say it's going to be. And the thing I'm in, where I always considered, is the day that I hold up a gun and people can say, oh, he's shooting that gun because they're paying him to, is the day I lose that objectivity. It's the day I lose my credibility. And so I struggle with that. You know? So I shoot and I use what I believe works best, having tried lots and lots and lots of it around the world. I just shoot what I believe in. I use what I believe in. I wear what I believe in, you know, because it works. And that's the way.
I agree with you, Ramsey, that you lose that objectivity. But my point to all of this and what I was trying to finish out saying was, I think that there's a group that sit in a boardroom at these corporate America hunting industries, and they say, oh, well, Larry's got great social metrics. Let's send him some pre-product and he can advertise online. Why is that in the hunting industry? Because I'm telling you, in the car industry or whatever other retail it may be, I guarantee you, they're not just giving away free product to get this person to advertise for them or to market for them.
From industry standpoint, I think there's so many companies making virtually the same thing, and 75% of them don't have the budget of the ones that have been around for 20 years. So that's a cheap, easy advertising avenue for them. But at the same time, it's exactly what I just said it is. It's cheap and it's easy.
You know, consider this right here. I had this conversation one time with a very good friend, a dear friend of mine, that works for a major waterfowling company. And, you know, when we start talking about pro staff and ambassadors and voices, even when you get beyond that, Rocky, Josh, when you get beyond that pro staff or that paid ambassador association, have you noticed, you know, we talk about this a lot in the past, and especially offline, we talk about clicks, the devices, energy going on in hunting. Well, it's almost, and if anybody wants to prove this point, go ask the simple question of what is your favorite fill in the blank with a product, and put it on Facebook and watch the results. It's almost like saying, what is your favorite SEC football team? And the fight starts. All the Ole Miss, the Florida, all the Alabama, everybody stabs that packet. They've got this strong fidelity. And in some way, I believe that the industry at large unintentionally, the industry at large is partly responsible for that increased divisiveness. Because in a fair foot race, now, Rocky, you make product A, and I make you compete in product B. You make product A, I make product B, and in a fair foot race, the best and best advertised wins. But now the marketing shift, and you may be right, it may just be the hunting industry, but the marketing shift has grown into being build a fandom. Build a fidelity. Build a SEC sports cult like around this particular product and brand.
That's it. Keep it cool as long as you can keep it cool. And then and as long as it's cool, people are going to be flooding to your product. Now, and the unfortunate part of that is when whatever you have becomes a little less cool, instead of going to the drawing board and making it better or doing what you have to do to climb back to the top, unfortunately what happens, especially with social media, is instead of doing that, we're just going to bash the crap out of our competitors. And let's do that, and let's ride that train. Let's try to make people think.
I really don't see that. I'm going to tell you what, without industry, without these businesses that are making these products and making better products, my gosh, go out on a cold day and sit in a duck hole now versus 1975. Go out and put these decoys out, these spinning wing products, these pull strings, these boat motors, these camo patterns. My gosh, how times have changed for the better, not the worse. The better, not the worse. And I don't know anybody. I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of people in the industry that are on the payroll of different major manufacturers, and I don't hear any of them in private, in confidentiality, let alone on public. I don't see any of them running out and bashing their competitors. What I see them personally doing is the same that I do. They operate kind of with the same mentality that I do, that Russ never sleeps, that to compete, I've got to compete with a superior product and a superior marketing campaign, and I've got to work harder and work smarter and just do better and build better. And so competition that way is very, very good at driving betterness. But what you do see happening is, wait a minute, what I see happening is I see people that may or may not have any form of bona fide relationship with this particular product company, I see them doing it, and they're seen to be doing it for their own self-aggrandization.
That's more what I meant when I said that a minute ago. That's more what I meant, and I agree with you that comes from the clickiness of what has become the industry, and that's more of what I meant, and it's just like there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just what happens. They want a pat on the back.
What the pro staff environment has done, it has created a whole new monster. I can think of one, because he's a quote competitor, unquote, a non-competitor, but a competitor in my business. And if I look at his personal profile, he is an ambassador, unquote, or pro staff, quote, unquote, with about 50 different people that I know for a bona fide fact he doesn't even know. But to make himself look good, he has affiliated himself with brands that I bet most of them wouldn't even like to know they're affiliated with him. And you see what I'm saying? It created this thing out there, man. It's weird. It's crazy how the internet... But to get back on track how we initially started now, Rocky, I mean, the internet has created major opportunities for people.
Let me lay this out for you. I have become really close friends with and I'm going to lay it out in two different industries for you, okay? All right, I've become really, really good friends with a guy that he hosts a football sports podcast. Now, we have more listeners to this podcast than he has. We have better metrics than he has. Okay. This is as detailed as I can get it. Okay, for you that's listening, I'm not begging for you to send your money in to be an advertiser with us, okay? Let's take that off the table, because I'm just like Ramsey. I'm not going to promote anything unless I believe in it. And Josh is the same way. Now, I say all that. We have better metrics than his podcast. His podcast is bringing almost $18,000 a month in advertising dollars for people that want him to advertise for their business on his podcast. $18,000 a month, and we have better metrics than him. But what I'm saying is, I have people all the time inside the hunting industry, hey, let me send you a free decoy. Let me send you a coat. You mentioned us on the podcast. What I'm saying is the hunting industry is so different. We've set up this deal where I can give you free stuff and you advertise for me.
Yeah, that's you know.
Yeah, I agree with
free
that.
Free stuff doesn't feed my kids, you know. It doesn't put gas in my truck. It's free stuff doesn't matter to me. I guess if I were, you know, Joe Shit's a ragman duck hunter that was sitting on the outside, you know, yeah, I'll take all the free stuff I can get, but I'm not. You know, on the downside, you know, I'm no mega influencer, but the downside of as you gain a public profile at all, you just really got to be careful. You know, I've just learned, and you know, Jake and I are working on this project that has come along, this Life Short Get Ducks video series project, and it's just brought to bear some of the conversations that have developed over this and some of the some of the things. My vision, and which is why I'm working very closely with Jake, because he and I share a vision. I said Jake, you know, I'm an organic brand, I'm an organic guy, I've got this international story in duck hunting, and I want to be true to myself, and I want to tell a true story. Not a bam, 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 strap them up duck hunt video. No, I don't want that. I want to tell the whole rich story of duck hunting. You know, how four people in a blind from different parts of the world and different upbringing and everything else, how similar they are, how different they are, but how duck hunting is this uniting force, and how wonderful, how similar duck hunting is around the world, but how vaguely different, vastly different duck hunting is between Mississippi and Azerbaijan. You know, I want to tell this rich story. I want to bring it to the world. and it was just brought to bear. You start creeping into this topic line we're talking about, and it's become a little murky for me, because, you know, I don't want to tell the corporate storyline. I will not tell corporate America's storyline.
What you're saying is, when you agree to bring those people in, you're agreeing for them to control the message somewhat.
Yes, and you know, and see, the way I look at it is, my message is wholesome and it's pure and it's conservation, and it really gets down to the base level of promoting, without promoting, of a hunting advocacy, you know, and bringing awareness of duck hunting everywhere, because, you know, it's important. It's important. It goes back to commodity value of wildlife and of hunting and everything else. But it, you know, like in implicit and talked about and spelled out to Jake as we started the show, I said, Jake, it's very important to me that you understand. I'm not asking you to make me a star of this show. In fact, I don't want to. I will be on it because it's my hunt. But I want to craft a story of duck hunting. I want the hunt. And the art of hunting and the species and the places and the people that are a part of the cultural backdrop in making these hunts happen. That is the quote star unquote. I don't want fame. I don't need fame. You know, I am who I am, and you know, I broker duck hunts and things like that for a living, but I'm not a rock star. I don't want to be. I'm just a duck hunter, and I want to tell this real true story of duck hunting. And so, you know, my thought train is, if this thing catches wind, if it gets out there, if it gets some traction, and people begin to see it and relate to it and connect to it, kind of like they did some of these podcasts we've done with you, or just our brand and social media in general, if they do begin to show fidelity for the show, I want to keep the message pure. And if somebody in the industry sees it and sees how it can relate to their product, then maybe we will consider pursuing that. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to say, okay, here's my show and my version of duck hunting, this humble, pure version of international duck hunting. So y'all tell me how y'all want to reach so we can sell more of your product. I ain't going to do that. Now, you know, man, what we are going to do, what we will do, if somebody was interested, what we could do is we could, you know, you'll see coming up in upcoming weeks where there'll be a 6 or 7, 8 minute episode on Australia and Argentina and Nebraska and Wyoming. And the next year we've got laid out, but then there's going to be subsidiary or support reels. You know, it's going to be little lead ins and little sizzle reels, you know, that kind of lead into it. They're built around the main story. And then that would be a place that if we believed in the product, if the product were consistent with what we were doing, if the product could be mobile and transferred, if it could be woven, then we would consider, okay, we're here at 1.5, 2 minutes. We can do something very sincere and creative that will benefit hunters. Because understand now, Rocky, it goes back to that objectivity. And this is a sticking point for me. It goes back to that professional objectivity that is my promise to my consumer, to my client, to my guest. That is that personal objectivity that benefits them. You know, the product should benefit them. It should truly benefit the people that I'm putting in front of. It should be something beneficial to them. It should add quality to their life, the same that I believe going on some of these hunts, if you're interested in doing it, would benefit your life. And that's a personal thing, you know, and it's very hard for me to break out personal from professional, because what I do for a living is so personal, you know. And I just believe at the end of the day, I've got to be true to myself. And that is how and why we were able to find our footing and find our trail and find our bearings and start the path of building on this wild, wild frontier called the internet. Because there we had my own voice uncorrupted, my vision, the way I thought it should be, the products I use, what works for me. Be it shooting gadwalls or putting the gun together out in the marsh. I mean, it's the whole process, and you know, it's pure and it's organic. And I think, and what do I know? But I think personally, Rocky, I take what 99% of your listeners and 99% of your Facebook users post on DuckSouth.com. I learn a lot from people. I have to click the profile to see who they are. I learn a lot from those people on multitude of subjects, you know, yet they're no celebrity. They're just duck hunters like myself, and they bring value. And I, you know, and the reason I don't think I'm engineered to be celebrity is because I just don't believe in that stuff. You know, you want to be a rock star? Great. Well, you know what? There's one Elvis Presley, and you ain't him. I ain't Elvis. Follow what I'm saying. Celebrity, it goes back to something, my discussion I heard on the radio the other day. Rocky, Josh, why do you want to be famous? Why do people seek fame? Why do they seek it? And one reason they seek it is money. That's not the number one reason, you know. And another reason they do it is it creates avenues or different things. But you know what the discussion boiled down to is the number one reason people want to be famous. I think it goes back to these Insta-fame type people. Y'all were talking about wearing the bikinis. I probably follow some of them, be honest with you guys. But the reason they want to be famous is simply their own vanity. And I have no vanity like that. I just don't. I am who I am. And I try to stay true to myself and true to what worked for me at a very personal and visceral level. And that's why, you know, I don't want to be a rock star. You know, I just don't. I play music for a living, but I have no ambition.
That's why I want to jump in the boat with you. If I'm corporate America, if you're using my product, I'm gonna pay you to talk about it because you believe in it. It's not because,
you know, it's crazy,
I'm giving you,
Rocky,
a free product.
I believe part of our marketing success, part of our organic marketing success, has been the fact that we don't sell. Have you ever? I mean, Rocky, believe it or not, I've talked about Argentina. We've talked about Mexico. We've talked about different things on your podcast. I don't sell, I tell. You know, I've had people in the booth with me sometimes go, my gosh, where'd you learn to sell like that? And I shrug and say, I'm a dumb forester and wildlife biologist. You know, and my background at Mississippi State doing research is telling, communicating. You know, when people come to a booth and ask about a hunt, or people call me and ask about a particular hunt, they're asking me for substance. They're asking me for facts. And it's just, you know, whether I'm posting a picture on Instagram, whether I'm speaking to you on a podcast or some other avenue out in the world, you know, what I have found is if I believe in it, I've been to the lodge, I've worked with the outfitter a long time, I believe in this product. I believe this is the best. I wear this coat because it works very, very well for me. It's light when I travel. It's waterproof. It fits great. Everything else I like about it is durable. It blends in with the habitat I'm hunting. I believe in it. And so really and truly, because I believe in it, I can tell the story. And you know, and I mean, look, I just can't see myself ever sitting up on a used car lot type advertisement going, I wear this coat because it's the best, it's dry. That's BS. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to be. They just want to know the fact. They want a good, credible source they can go and research to. So it's going to be interesting times ahead. Is our path continues to move forward? It's going to be interesting, but it's already presenting me with, you know, trying to think about, dude, what will I do? What will I do if somebody were to want to become involved or want to become at some kind of level like that? I don't want their product unless I believe in it and I'll take all you got. The truth of the matter is, I do sell duck hunts. That's how I make my living. But
all right,
I don't want to sell everything under the sun.
Let me ask you this. All right. I know Ramsey Russell. I'm just going to pull a product out of the air, okay? Let's say Ramsey Russell is a Yeti user, okay? Let's just say that you're a Yeti cooler user. Let's put it in the college football analogy. You've got a diehard Ole Miss fan, and he's very popular with Ole Miss fans. Why would I not want to pay the guy that's already a huge fan, he's already known among the Rebel fan base, to promote a product for me? In the same sense, in the duck hunting world, I know that you believe in Yeti without even being paid. Why wouldn't I want to even take you to the next level and say, hey, Ramsey, man, I want you to promote Yeti for me. I know that you believe in it. I want to pay you to promote Yeti. That's the way that I would look at it from the corporate boardroom. I don't want to send Joe Blow a cooler and say, hey, man, put it up on the Instagram. I don't think that moves the needle. I think influencers move the needle, and get an influencer that already believes in my product and pay them. Yeah, you're really talking about moving the needle.
I don't know, Rocky. I don't live in a corporate boardroom, and I don't have access to their metadata. I don't know why they make the decisions they make, but it's working for them. So whatever they're doing is working for them.
But I think it's easy for them though.
It doesn't reconcile. It just doesn't reconcile with me. It doesn't reconcile with my personal organic brand to think like that. So that's a whole new frontier for me. I don't know, Rocky. I really don't know.
But what I'm saying is, have we, not me and you, but if we as hunters, have we made it easy on the hunting industry to get their products out? All this pro staff stuff, all this ambassador stuff, we give it to them we'll give you a 20% discount if you'll help us promote our product. Let's move the needle with people that matters. What I'm saying,
I would think so. You know, I would think so. But I've got some really good relationships with people that think and do like that. But you know, people think. I think a lot of people think. People that may be listening think, well, Ramsey's in the industry, and I'm not.
Dude, as much as you don't want to think about it, you are a hero, a superhero of duck hunting. I don't care if you're humble.
Okay, Rocky, in the duck hunting community, I am involved in the duck hunting community, the world of duck hunting. But to me, industry is product, it's merchandise, and I don't sell merchandise. And so
you're an influencer.
I'm related to merchandise. I'm related to merchandisers, but I don't sell that. To me, merchandise is industry, and I just don't, you know, because I don't sell merchandise, I don't really understand it. I know that when we started out this path, you know, we've got a lot of good relationships with print media and television media and internet media and things of that nature. We've got a good relationship with a lot of different merchandisers, and that's all good and fine. But you know, that's why it was so important to me is, you know, if I'm on television show A or something like that, you know, my story is a sub part of their story. And what I saw missing, from my standpoint, is, you know, I want to tell a story. And, you know, Rocky, you think about the social media response to the GetDucks.com brand, you know, just it always makes me just scratch my head and think about it. You know, we're not Coca-Cola or Nike or some brand that has millions upon millions of followers. We're not that brand. We're very down far the food chain. But if you look at what's on our peg with us, our competitors and people that like us, you know, they have several hundred or a few thousand followers, and we're way up there past 100,000. Our reach is far greater than that, just on the metrics part. And the reason that is because our message, even though we sell a certain product within the duck hunting community, these trips of a lifetime type deal, our message is more encompassing, you know, just to duck hunters in general. We welcome all duck hunters in the fold, and it's just amazing the message and our how we've communicated with people and how we've built a brand is not for discriminating hunters. It's for hunters. You know, we do advocate hunting. We do advocate children in the field. We do advocate and you can see in just by the way we express ourselves in social media, on the internet in large, it's not about what you hunt with or how you hunt, it's why you hunt and who you hunt with. That to me is the universal truth. Those two questions, but the who and the why, are the universal message in duck hunting, and that's what we intend to tell with our upcoming video series.
But my point in this, I'm speaking from a personal point now. If Ramsey Russell tells me he uses a certain product, I'm more likely to buy that product, is what I'm saying. Because I know Ramsey Russell spends 320 days in the field compared to somebody that's sitting in the United States that may spend 80 days. Because if it works for him 320 days, I'm probably going to use it. And he says
that. I can
say
that.
And the Ramsey Russell of the world, Ramsey Russell, says that, I'm more likely to buy it. If Ramsey Russell were to say, that Yeti cooler is the best thing I've ever owned, I'm more likely to buy that Yeti cooler because I know Ramsey Russell is using the hell out of his Yeti cooler. Or whether it be Sitka gear, whatever it may be, I know that you're using yours 320 days out of the year. I'm more likely to buy it. Not because you're my friend, it's because I know you're putting it through living hell. And if it works for you, I'm probably going to buy it.
Well, thank you, Rocky. I use stuff because it works. I hate wet feet, and I hate hot beer. So I hate guns that don't go boom when the duck of a lifetime comes sailing into the decoy. So, you know, that's just, and boy, I tell you what, man, being halfway across the world, standing knee deep in a duck hole or shooting those kind of hunts, that's the wrong place to be when your boots start leaking or your gun don't fire. You know, you got to travel with stuff that you believe in and stuff that works. But yeah, that's I don't know how this world, but you know, Rocky, it really, to me, and to you, and anybody listening, it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter the whys of that part of the thing, because at the end of the day, you know, the old buffalo herds, to get, you know, how we started the show, the old buffalo herds can go stand over there by themselves because I can go make my own herd. You know what I'm saying? I can make my own herd with this internet and with the opportunities that exist for everybody willing to spend, put a little skin in the game and mostly time, some money too. You know, those paths and those opportunities exist for everybody right here, right now. This internet has been a huge changer and I believe, you watch. I believe in time, Rocky. That, you know, you have become a major influencer yourself. You have got you got old guys like me listening to podcasts. You got me thinking about subjects from, you know, just like Bill Cooksey talking the other day about the red tide down in Florida. You know, I'm becoming increasingly aware of things, and you know, because it's kind of an unfiltered message and a media, a medium, I should say, a medium that allows an unfiltered message to go out and discuss things that you know, those old bulls, those old muskox standing in a circle, you know, guarding the content in the middle. Those days are dying, and you know if you're asking me about using a gun or using a product or using this or using that, you know, I'm using what works. I'm using what people I know get out there and that I respect as true hunters. Like, I think of a true hunter, not like you think of a true hunter. He thinks of a true hunter. Like, not just because a guy draws back and shoots an elk at 76 yards. I believe in product that I've used and that people that I greatly respect as true hunters use and believe in, you know. And man, if you really want to do some research and gain some insight today and be a savvy user, you can find a multitude of honest voices out there on the internet, on podcasts, and all this digital world we're living in, you know. And we can shrug off, and you know, and it's not just Golly, you know, look at the internet is not a place to find information. It is a medium for communication, and look at how times have changed, Rocky, since the onset of this new world we live in on the internet. For example, television advertising. Does anybody at all really watch television advertising anymore? Because the very few shows that I actually positively watch on television, guess what? I TiVo them.
And you four clicks, the commercials.
4 to 6 clicks will get me right next to the next segment, and I miss it all. I don't have to be sold to. And, you know, and so I think, the way that I communicate and grow my brand, the way that I communicate and develop new client relationships and new friendships and relate, you know, that whole ball of wax, it's changed with the internet, but also the way that I'm willing to receive information and from whom I'm willing to filter information has changed too. And it will continue to change. It's going to be different in 8 months. It's going to be different in 10 years from where it is right now. But you know, Rocky, you know, you're on the same path I am. A lot of your people listening, you know, they've got ideas. They've got voices. They've got things that they want to express. And the opportunity exists like it never had before. GetDucks.com could not have been possible back in the 70s or 80s or 90s. It could not have been possible. It could really not have been possible in that time frame because of the way the world existed and the way the world communicated, especially in the outdoor world. And when the internet came out, you know, I think I discussed in a previous podcast, when the internet came out, you know, when I started GetDucks.com, I did not start with a master plan to get from there to here. It happened, and it happened very organically, and it happened by stirring what I got. We got a few minutes. I want to tell you a story, Rocky. You know, you in your whole life, you hear a lot of conversations. You hear a lot of things. A lot of things are said, and every now and again, something is said to you that impacts your life profoundly.
We will close out with this story, but go ahead.
Okay. When I was in junior college, I swapped majors, I think I told you, from accounting, which would be like putting Muhammad Ali in brain surgery. I mean, I belong in accounting like Muhammad Ali with a brain as a surgeon. It just didn't fit. But I swapped over into forestry and wildlife and had to take some courses while I was there in junior college, like soils, and which threw me over agriculture. And we had a guy named Dr. Boyd, I believe his name was. But anyway, he put us, he was kind of the head up guy there in junior college, and he got me involved in the little ag club or whatever it was there. And what that basically meant is on Fridays, we would go meet over there at the ag building, and we would listen to guest speakers come in, like seminar at lunchtime. And I couldn't tell you anybody that I saw in that whole ordeal. I can't remember anybody else in an entire semester or year of people coming in and out on Friday afternoons and talking to us during seminar, but one person. And it was Jim Buck Ross, over agriculture, the agricultural commissioner for the state of Mississippi, came in to talk to us one day. Little Jim Buck Ross from Peelahatchee, Mississippi, came in to talk to us. And I really can't even tell you everything he said, Rocky, but he started telling this story that I have remembered for the rest of my life. And he started telling this story that back during World War II, they would go down to the sale barn there at the Mississippi Trade Center on cattle buying days, stuff like that. There was a little cafe there, and in between doing all their business, selling cattle, buying cattle, doing that things, they'd all go to the cafe and eat lunch. And he walked in one day, and he ordered what he ordered, you know, the blue plate special, whatever like that, and he brought him out a glass of iced tea. And back in those days, you know, tea came as tea, and you had to sweeten it yourself, and she gave him one sugar packet. He put a sugar packet in there and stirred it up. Well, it wasn't sweetened, how that works. You got to make sweet tea. He's going to make sweet tea. But he put a sugar packet in there, and he stirred it up. And he took a sip, and it wasn't sweet enough. And when the waitress came back, and remember, this is World War II, and sugar and meat and a lot of important things being rationed for the soldiers. And when the waitress came back by, she said, "Ma'am, I need another sugar pack." She said, "Need another sugar pack." She held up the glass and tanked a little bit. She could see sugar floating around the bottom. She says, "Honey, you got to stir what you got, because that's all you get." And she gave him his tea back and didn't give him sugar. And his message to us, I was at a young, impressionable age, his message to us was, you know, you've all got what you got, and that's all you're going to get. You got to stir what you got for the rest of your life. You got to take what you were given, and you got to stir it, and you got to make it work. And that brings us back on point, Rocky, of how my brand grew and is continuing to grow, and how your brand has grown and will continue to grow, and how anybody listening to us talk about this stuff, it's how, whether it's a personal relationship or a business brand or getting their word out and building their brand in this new frontier called the internet, you just got to take what you have and stir what you got. And this internet has done it. It did it for us. You know, we exist because we were able to get our message out, our true message, stay true to ourselves and get our message out in this new frontier called the internet. That's how we did it. That's how we'll continue to do it. That's how everybody listening will do it. You know, at the end of the day, you just got to stir what you got, Rocky.
What a awesome story to end this episode on. That's a really, really good point to end on. And look, before anybody sends me any messages or comments on the up under this podcast, when I was talking about the metrics of the podcast earlier, well, I know you're probably going to say, "Ooh, they probably just sell advertising better." Nope, they are total introverts and they don't sell anything. So before anybody comments or sends me those messages, but Ramsey, what an awesome discussion today! I don't think that we could have made these points any better, man. It's been a great discussion. And I appreciate you making me smarter on our weekly phone calls of listening to you.
I don't know, Rocky. You know what my weekly visits with Rocky LaFleur do for me? The subject matter we talk and the steps through memory lanes and just, you know, speaking these things out, it really helps me find my personal and professional bearings, you know, because sometimes I get so, man, this week has been it's been horrifically busy. When I get in that creative mode, and I'm working online, I'm going through the nights. That's when the phones aren't ringing. My phones are ringing during the day. My emails are coming in during the day. And at nighttime, the house is quiet, the world is asleep, and I'm working. I built the entire website, getducks.com. 90% of it was built between 10 at night and 6 in the morning. And so I've been doing that lately. And so sometimes you get you get your nose to the grindstone. You got all these blinders on, all these distractions going on, and you just kind of lose sight. You kind of lose yourself in your work. And being able to talk to you, a lot of the topics that you and I have discussed over the week.
On and off the air.
Yeah, on and off the air, Rocky. On and off the air. A lot of the topics and discussions you and I have had since standing with me, you, and Josh in a dove field on a hot September day, it made me a better person just because I'm reminded every time I come a little bit closer to home, and I'm reminded of where my true bearings are. But I enjoy our business, and I hope all five of the folks listening enjoy it too.
Well, it's been a great podcast. Ramsey, I've enjoyed it. Josh, thank you. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.